everyone, and welcome to the Empire Builders podcast, where we help business leaders build massive businesses and even bigger lives. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Wendy Papazan, and I am an Empire Builder.
I'm Seychelle Van Poole, and I'm an Empire Builder.
I'm Sarah Reynolds, and I am an Empire Builder.
And I'm Via Williams, and I am an Empire Builder. I'm also really excited to talk about our episode today because we're going to focus on two of our hosts, and we're going to have Seychelle Van Poole is going to interview Sarah Reynolds. Sarah Reynolds is going to pivot and interview me, Via.
I love it. So let's jump into today because one of the things that I think makes this podcast so special is that we are not afraid to get vulnerable and real with our viewers and our audience and our listeners. So Sarah, thank you for being willing to let me spend this time with you today. We've known each other now for almost 12 years.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
What did our businesses look like back then?
Also, our bags under our eyes. Yes. Well, mine, yours still look really fabulous. No. But mine are
no kids. That's right. Just freshly married.
That's right.
Not even married yet.
Yep. That's right. I was newlywed and you were almost married. Yep. And so, you know, I think back to taking our listeners back to you and I first met in a Starbucks in Virginia.
Yes. And what connected us was both mother-daughter teams. So I had found you and your mom. We had a referral for Dallas.
Right.
And we had found you guys for them and started connecting because I said, oh my goodness, we have so much in common. And we met at the Starbucks and I showed you my farming piece.
You did. I actually think I have that sample, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I still think I have it.
Well, it's still working well. So still doing it today.
I would say it's doing pretty well.
Yes.
I think Sarah's doing okay.
Yeah. $10 million in revenue.
That's right.
Yeah. I think the farming's going well.
Yes, it is.
Well, and you know, and that started with a 30-minute meeting that turned into probably 2 or 2.5 hours with us sitting there. I remember. And you know, you talk about that farming piece is still doing well, and we'll unpack this a little bit. But one of the things I really appreciate about you is that you pick something and you stick with it.
Yes.
And I think so many people see you have massive success today. And they maybe don't know how long and hard and persistent and consistent you have been.
Yeah.
Right? So take me back to when you first got into real estate. How did you get in?
So really, it started because I was graduating from college with a business degree. And I knew I wanted to do business. And my mom was a realtor. And she had joined Keller Williams in 1999 when the company was 6,000 agents. Pretty crazy. And she started understanding teams and things like that and grew with an assistant, right? And that took her to about 30 sales. Then she had to have a major back surgery.
Oh, wow.
And she was the only agent, her and an assistant. And as you know, showing houses is physical, right? Yeah. And she would show a good amount of buyer's homes. And she called me, I was graduating from college, and she said, you know, I really would love for you to come help me. Get your license and come help me. And I was said, absolutely. My family's at my core, right?
Yeah.
And similar to your story a little bit in that. And so I got my real estate license. And honestly, I thought it would be temporary because I started working in retail at 16.
Wow.
Yeah. And I worked for 8 years in retail. Six years. And I fell in love with it. What ended up happening is I love the fast pace. They always put me with like the angry customers at the customer service desk. You know, I could make them happy all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Exactly, the challenge of that. And of course, getting people to open the credit cards because they have objections, right? So I started nailing those at a young age.
So
my intent was to work in real estate and then get a job in retail. I had been offered multiple like higher level management positions. And I thought that that was sort of my path.
Yeah.
And so I became her buyer's agent. Mm. And 2 years after that, I sat her down. I said, okay, I'm ready to...
Let's do this.
I'm ready to go.
So one thing that I think is really interesting is what happens next.
Yeah.
Because I think you entered into a business relationship with your mom.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And a lot of times people put their parents up on pedestals.
Yes.
Right? And I'm sure that you probably had your mom up on one too. What was that like all of a sudden entering in business with a family member and then... kind of what happened after that.
Yeah, so that's right, Seychelle, because what ended up happening with me is I was 22, right?
Yeah.
So I was also young. And in my mind, my mom was my hero. She's still my hero, right?
Yes.
But she was absolutely my hero, and a hero in a way of being up on a pedestal to where you don't see, when you work with someone, you see the good, the bad. You see their strengths and their weaknesses, right? And it can be really clear. Like a mom working with their daughter, like all of us that are moms know, you see your kids' strengths and weaknesses, right?
So and for you her, have since birth.
Yes. So for her, that wasn't anything new, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, it was a little bit shocking coming into her world. And, you know, she's the best realtor I know, but not consistent, right? She would start things and stop them. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I was like, what are you doing? You know, like, why are you starting and stopping? I would find something and she'd be like, that works so great. Like this piece works so great. And I'm like, oh, okay. You're still doing it. Oh no, we stopped. I'm like, okay.
So then there's a dynamic shift that has to happen with that. Yep. So what happens?
Well, what can be difficult is, you know, you go from being mother daughter to business partner we weren't even business partners then, right? I mean, she was the team leader, and it was hard. You know, you miss the mother daughter times and things like that, and it was just time for me to sort of like move on. To me, it was like, okay, this was good. It's time for me to exit real estate.
Wow.
And yeah.
So what happened?
So what happened is she said, you know, I've been giving this a lot of thought and I really think you're better suited to grow a team.
Huh.
And I said, well, what does that mean? I'm not sure what that means. And she said, well, first of all, you really have to dominate on listings. You need to learn listings. I was scared to death of listings.
Mm-hmm. Is
it like scared to death?
Your early 20s, you probably haven't sold your own home yet. So.
Exactly. I had this limiting belief. I'm going to go in there with like, you know, their kids are my age, you know, and I'm asking their biggest asset, like I'm going to ask them to pay me to sell their home. And I was like, no way would that work, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. When we're buyer's agents, we're a service provider.
That's right.
They don't feel like they're paying us and we are a hero.
Yes.
We are finding them and negotiating a house. When we're listing agents.
And it's emotionally exciting.
Yeah, we're representing their most major asset.
Right.
And it is a different level of stress, for sure.
So she said to me, you know, you're going to have to learn listings because building a team, you need to be listing focused. And then, I want you to be in charge. And I was like, in charge? You know, it was me, her, and two assistants at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, what does that mean? And she's like, you'd be my boss. And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm. And she was very clear on that.
She's got chills, actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was really clear on it. And talk about a visionary, you know.
Very evolved.
Yes.
Yes. It's incredible.
Yes. Yeah. And a belief, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if I look back through so many people now look at me and they say, I believed in you, you know? And it's like, and maybe they did, you know, but I think back and I'm like, man, my mom
really
believed in me.
And she still is convicted with that. We had lunch or breakfast last year together at our last big convention we had, right? And we sat down for breakfast and I said, so how are you doing? And she goes, I love having Sarah as my boss, you know? And it was just...
That's amazing. That's
not
worked out well for her.
Oh, it's worked out so well. Yeah.
Worked out really well.
I always it's smaller in this world, but I always relate it to, you know, when Gary made the decision to fire himself and hire Mo.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look back at the history of Keller Williams, I mean, what a pivotal decision that
That's
was,
right.
you know, for our
That's
company.
Right.
And I mean, the same, you know, happened there as she made that decision. And I did not feel adequate.
Sure.
You know, I did not feel ready. Mm-hmm. I did not. But at the same time, I could see the challenge of it.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted the challenge. And that's really what got me going was really the competitive nature I have and the challenging nature I have is like, yeah, let me go start dominating listings. So that was about, that was about 2009.
Mm-hmm. Well, give you an objection or a process, right? To go after something and you're going to go do it.
Yeah. Don't ever tell Sarah Reynolds no.
That's right.
Yeah. Or that you can't do something. That's the best way to get something done.
So I don't know about Washington, D.C., but in Seattle, 2009 was dismal.
Oh, dismal.
I mean, it was a
dismal.
Scary time.
Mm-hmm. Scary, scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I got my license in 2006.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was,
wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was not fun.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. It was not fun.
Well, the beauty of it is, though, is you didn't know any better.
I didn't know any better.
Right.
I say it wasn't fun now, but that's like, right? It's all perception.
Yeah.
I mean, because of what, we're in a great market right now.
Yeah.
at the time, to be honest, it actually was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of all of the challenges and problem solving, mm-hmm. people would come to, you know, you go to their house and they owe $100,000 more and they have to move and the government's moving them, but yet they're not willing to pay the loss. And yeah. I mean, it was some difficult problem solving, that's for sure.
I believe that.
Yeah. And at the time, I mean, I was up against some heavy hitters.
Absolutely.
In terms of listings. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was going into, if you read, you know, go back 10 years, Wall Street Journal, you know, top 50, uh-huh. those were my main competitors.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, and so, you know, the DC, Maryland, Virginia market is not, lacking competitors by
yes.
any means. And so you have to figure this out. And at the same time, you're becoming a leader.
Yes.
You're new into this leadership
yes.
journey and you need to grow the business.
Yes.
And so what does that next hire look like for you? And what did that do for you?
So the first hire was against model, actually, because we hired an inside sales agent.
Right.
So that was my first hire that uh-huh. I made as a team leader, mm-hmm. As a mega agent team
right.
leader. And the reason for that was because I knew if I could get out there more and just mm-hmm. focus on going on these listing mm-hmm. appointments, you know, mm-hmm. our business would grow.
And so you got your time back.
If yes.
you could spend less time actively trying to get the appointment and more time closing at the appointment, you knew that that would
Correct.
Work out in your favor.
Yes.
Smart.
Yep. Yeah. And the thing, we already had two assistants, right?
Right.
To say it's not model, I mean, that's
right.
debatable, right? So anyway, so that was the first hire. And then pretty quickly after that, I mean, she was doing such a great job. She's still with me today, right?
And that's incredible.
Yeah, she's incredible. And so what ended up happening is that we hired our first buyer's agent. And Sasha was our first buyer's agent, who's our director of growth now.
Wow.
And that's when I became addicted to team building.
I love that. And so what does that look like now? You know, fast forward with Sasha, right? Who's now director of growth.
Yes.
And you've created massive of opportunity for her. What does your world look like now?
Yeah. So, I mean, we can't get to now without, I think, talking a little bit more about Sasha, just because mm-hmm. that relationship has really set the stage for what is today, to
I
be
love
honest.
That.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's unpack that.
Yeah. So what I didn't know, you know, originally I was like, I wasn't clear on my vision for team building. I wasn't clear on it. And what ended up happening is I hired Sasha as our buyer's agent. And, you know, for the first 6 months, she just follows me around.
Right.
We had nothing organized. Like, I mean, no training program.
Sure.
No, like, I mean, it was a mess, right? She mm-hmm. was like really my true guinea pig in almost every department.
Yeah,
of
but
our
I
business.
Think being an apprentice is the best way to
yes,
learn.
Yes, it is.
Oh, for
fantastic.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for 6 months, she followed me around.
I love that.
And she became extremely successful. Mm-hmm. And after her first year being on our team, she was on her way to a vacation and she sends me a text message and it said, basically it said, if it weren't for you, A, I wouldn't be able to go on this vacation, but not only am I going on this vacation, I paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my passions has, you know, you see different empire builders and one of my passions as an empire builder is for my people to make really good income.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm proud of my average income of my people.
Yes.
Like that's something that I share in multiple avenues because I'm proud of that. And it's because of that message. It changed my life, that text message, because I then became addicted to changing people's lives.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, what team building is about, right?
Well, and you come from abundance, right?
Yes,
you're saying,
absolutely.
You're saying, I want my people to make a great income and a great life because I know if I'm going to help them make it,
yep.
I'm going to have what I want.
Can
right?
we? Can do you mind sharing? I mean, I'm sure our listeners would be interested.
Sharing
your,
the income?
The income, yeah.
Yeah, so last year, the average income on my team for agents was $172,000. And that's
net. Fantastic.
That's a net number.
That's the average.
Yes, and the average per location gross commission income was $3.3 million. So, and if you look at some other organizations, I respect them greatly, but you got to look at the average, right? And then when you look at the average, you can see whether or not people are having big lives too. It's not about Sarah Reynolds having a big
right.
life.
Right.
It actually has never been about Sarah Reynolds having a big business. It's mm-hmm. been about what can I do? What can my empire do to create big lives for those around me mm-hmm. to where in my vision, if you look at my vision, even today, if I were to share my next 5-year vision for our empire, it's not Sarah's vision.
Right.
It's actually sitting down with each team member and really packing their vision. You know, we're going to be in Georgia And why are we going to be in Georgia? We're going to be in Georgia because a team member 2 years ago said, when my daughter graduates from college, we're going to Georgia. Mm-hmm. We're going to be in Florida. You know, we're going to be in Texas. Like we will be places, not because of Sarah wanted to be those, right. be in those places.
Because you're going with your people.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's something that over the last couple of years, I've certainly grown in my leadership in this. And it thanks to Gary Keller, honestly, mm-hmm. right? You know, building a big enough vision to where your vision is big enough to where they see themselves in
That's right. That's right.
And it's something that, I mean, that's what I'm about is more of just like creating the avenue for people to have their, to be able to reach their dreams, mm-hmm. right? And that day with Sasha, that's when I truly became 100% addicted to that.
That was a path changer for you.
A path changer. And that's also why it's a struggle sometimes to get me to slow down. And why it's, because it's truly, I just, impacting people's lives. The real estate industry has such an opportunity to impact people.
Yeah,
you know,
does.
We're in an industry that, depending on the year, you know, the highest fail rate has been about 95%, depending right. on the year of fail rate. Mm-hmm. Only 5% of the people that get licensed today will be around in 3 years. And I say this often, but guys, it's an industry problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because guaranteed, I mean, if you talk to realtors, they have the best heart. Most of them want to get in to help people.
Absolutely. I think that's right? where their intentions are.
Exactly, yeah. And so it's an industry issue, right? But our empires, our organizations can come alongside amazing people with the best hearts and give them the opportunity to do what they really wanted to do, which is to help people.
Well, and it's so exciting because that vision is contagious. I mean, you can just feel the energy. I mean, even if you're listening to this, right? You can feel the energy and the passion coming out of you with it. And it's attractive. Mm-hmm. And you're attracting massive talent
yeah.
and massive opportunities
yep.
because of the passion and the vision that you
yes.
have.
Yep.
You know, and so I think we would be missing a big opportunity if we don't also talk about, as you've been growing this huge business and these amazing opportunities for your work family, you also have an amazing family at home.
Yes.
So talk to me about George and walk me through sort of how this has come alongside and building a beautiful family alongside of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got married in 2009. You know, that was a big year. So 2009 wow. is when I was put in charge and 2009 is when I married George, which was a dream, honestly. We dated for 5 years and that was a dream of mine. And then with that, you know, we grew the family, right? So
right.
I've had 3 kids, 3 pregnancies, 3 maternity leaves, all while growing our organization. And it's really, for me, it's been about, and all 3 of them, you know, I've been able to take time off, like completely
yeah.
off. And again, it's about surrounding yourself. Well, it's really about creating value for people,
yes.
right? Making sure you're showing huge value,
mm-hmm.
right? Once you do that, you attract talent and you also attract loyalty, right?
Right.
And so it allowed for me to have the babies. And each year I had the baby, I have actually had each baby. That was the largest percentage of growth I've had all three.
Oh, well, you know what's coming. 10 babies.
No.
Well, and I just want to for the people who are listening, we know that you are doing $10 million in revenue, but what's the size of your business? How many people are you've
How
gone
many
from
feed that?
In 2009, what was like 5 people,
yes.
right? And to where is it today? I just think that would be
so helpful. 85 in-house.
85 in-house.
Yep.
Wow.
And we have 12 on our VA team. So we have a VA company that we run and own in the Philippines. And 12 of Reynolds' team family members, they've also been with me many of them, at mm-hmm. least 5 years on the VA team. So they're a big part of our team family as well.
At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
So going back to your question about George, my husband, I mean, he's been a true life partner and a true business partner in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's given me the ability. I've always said that the strongest men can handle the strongest women,
yes.
right? And sometimes it doesn't come across as the way that you see it, as you think it, right? And, you know, George is extremely confident in himself, extremely confident in me. And he's allowed me to share my vision as we've grown and really allowed me to accomplish the things I have because he's been the amazing partner, you know, allowing me to travel and to grow and to learn business things and to expand on that and coming alongside me, right? And we're a true partnership at home. It's not, you know, I'm the only one taking care of the babies. He's been right there with me, you know, with all three.
Yeah, and he's an amazing dad too.
Yes, absolutely. So it's been a true team at, you know, team at home, team at work. It's been awesome.
I love that you are going on a journey far with people, right?
Yeah.
It is through your servant leadership that you have grown this amazing opportunity. And it's through the partnership that you've built with George that you guys have built this amazing business and this amazing life together.
Yep.
And I love that you're on this pursuit of doing both and not willing to sacrifice one for the other.
Absolutely.
And it's fabulous.
Yep. So thank you so much, Seychelle. This was so fun. But what I'm really excited about now is we get to interview also an amazingly passionate person and an amazing leader, Via Williams. So I'm gonna pivot here and let's dive in to Via.
Thank you. It's exciting. Yes. I am not usually the one getting interviewed. I'm usually the interviewer.
Yes.
Well, very weird.
And I'm also the one being interviewed. So this could
be all fun.
It's all gonna be fun. One of the things that's so unique about you with the four of us is that you're really the entrepreneur, right, on the podcast. And it's something that's so amazing in sort of the corporate America way. And I want to sort of dive into that, but sort of get the background. So tell us a little bit about how you got into real estate and what your life looked like before you became an entrepreneur.
Yeah, because I didn't think about myself this way at all. This was a surprise to me. I was your typical real estate agent, you know, in my 30s. I sold a lot of real estate, you know, sometimes worked too hard, sometimes got to volunteer in my kids' school twice a week. I was really, really focused on two young kids at the time and just going through the motions. You know, you sell X amount of homes and you get X amount of income and you buy a house and you go to Disney World and you do that, right? And something happened to me when I turned 39 or 40, and it was an internal drive and desire to have a bigger life. I don't think I could have vocalized it that way, but that's what happened. I had my third baby, my girl. So my first two were boys. It's always a girl. And, you know, the downturn happened. Mm. And I had a premature newborn who was 4 pounds, was probably on the verge of losing my house and had to make some life decisions. And I remember, you know, meeting with my husband kind of in a broken state. And I do have an interesting relationship with money, which is why I think it's really important for me, for everyone out there to really understand this. I was broken and I just always, you know, spent too much money because I always made a lot of money. And here the downturn happened and real estate stopped. And my husband and I were both in real estate. We were in a bad place. And it was the most pivotal event in my life, I think, because what happened is that we had two ways to go. And we could have curled in fetal position or, you know, like I told my husband, it is time for me to put on my battle armor and to go fight. And so we did that. We kind of cobbled our way through childcare. I changed brokerages at the time, which is when I met some of you guys. I came to Keller Williams really on a fluke. I heard a couple things about it that just resonated with me. It sounded very different from what I was used to. And I had been at this local kind of a regional brand that had no national conventions, really no exposure to anything. And what really, really changed my life was, you know, I came to Keller Williams and honestly, the first year it was just survival. Mm-hmm. And I used my brother-in-law's frequent flyer miles and I shared a room with my team leader at the Red Roof Inn, and I went to our first big national event.
Wow.
And I will never forget the moment sitting in the audience, surrounded by people I didn't know, and watching people on stage talking about these big, huge businesses. And I remember at one point, I grabbed somebody. I go, did they just say 700 homes? Did I just hear them say that? Because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. My mind just exploded. I had really never been exposed to anything like that. And it might sound funny, but I just didn't understand that, I was burnt out from selling homes. If we're being honest, I wasn't really getting my joy there. In retrospect, I think the move, all of this was about me seeking something that I just didn't know what it was yet.
Yeah.
Which is a big lesson in my life, right? I'm a fierce, fierce advocate of staying really attached to a process and not an outcome.
Yep.
And looking back, I was very attached to a self-evolvement process I was going through. And I really gave up understanding where it was going to lead, yep. right? So I came to Keller Williams and long story short, I started a team. Interesting thing happened very early in that journey, really before I even started my team. A guy named Ben Kinney bought my market center. So I was in this little office, this little brokerage, and it was, we were about to be kicked out by our landlords, actually. It's kind of a funny story. And this guy from Bellingham, which is about 90 minutes from where I am in Seattle, came and introduced himself to the office and said, you know, my name's Ben Kinney. I basically now own your office. And I went on with my life. But what happened is he said, why don't I coach you?
Wow.
And I was like, oh, you know, that'd be great. I want to do more. I want to be like those people on stage. Yeah, that'd be great.
And so what did your business look like then?
Yeah, the great question. It was, you know, I was always a, first of all, I never knew my numbers. I could have told you how much I made at my former brokerage, but we never tracked our numbers and I never knew them.
Okay.
The person who told me my volume was someone that worked at Keller Williams.
Okay.
Someone called me up and told me what my numbers were. And I did 9.6 million my first year at Keller Williams. And then I thought I would try to start to cobble together a team because I'd gone to that national event and I did 25 million that year.
Wow.
And which was a huge, huge,
huge
leap,
jump.
Right?
Wow.
And that
and was Ben coaching you
so
then,
that was or? Right when he was coaching me right at the, about the 10
wow.
million mark, right at the beginning,
wow.
right at the beginning. And it over what started happening is it was really impactful for me. So I would call, text his assistant, call his assistant. It took me, I counted it once, 11 attempts to get a coaching session at one point. I drove all the way up to Bellingham, which was 90 minutes there and back. And I did that every month or two for years.
Wow.
And I remember his, you know, at some point he goes, you know, you can just call me. And I just remember saying no, because part of what this is it's an apprenticeship, which is why I
yes.
really resonated when you talk about Sasha
yeah.
following you
yeah.
around. I said, I need to see how you interact and what you say to your people. And then I need you to break it down for me
yeah.
when we're behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we had an apprentice relationship from the very beginning. I went from like 25 million to like 37 million to 48
wow.
million to 70 million. I mean, it was like a 400% or 700% increase. I have to do the math in 4 years. It was
phenomenal.
A 700%
yep.
increase in 4 years. Yeah.
Yep.
So as I was doing that, you know, like a lot of us, I started getting asked to be on stage and I had a radio show and it was getting, you know, I think any time you hit a certain level in your industry, you start getting some national attention and that certainly happened. My ego loved it, mm-hmm. right? And I was miserable. I would get on stage and talk about, you know, how great it was. And at a certain point, the growth stopped and it became a little bit more maintenance for me. It came a little bit more about day-to-day operational stuff and that just wasn't my jam at all. I was really good at making revenue and income. And here's another theme. I was not great at expense management and didn't really want to be great at it. And
now, at the same time, too, and this is just from following you from afar, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't even friends then. But you also were building a pretty solid like luxury brand, right?
Yeah, it's
yeah.
always been a luxury. And we've yeah. always been a high-end and luxury real estate
yeah.
team. And, you know, Seattle has a really high price point
yeah.
anyway. Right now, our median prices are between 900 and a million in a lot of
okay.
the areas I serve.
Okay.
So I didn't think about, yes, high-end and luxury, especially
yes.
for a lot of people around the country.
Yeah, and
yeah.
I think that's something that you've been, definitely been a leader in.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I was involved with Keller Williams Luxury.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. And so that was... you know, your journey of team building and things like that. And then you've also been such a voice to me, to all of us, in terms of embracing failure.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about that, because I think that's something, as we're empire building, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that a lot of people don't embrace
yeah.
and a lot of people struggle with. So talk to me about that journey of embracing failure and what that looked like.
Yeah. So, you know, like a lot of people, I've gone on an ego journey, and it started out that I got a lot of external validation and you know, I thrived on the attention. Mm. And I kind of went through an internal growth period and decided that I was no longer going to look good and be right, and that I was going to really just focus on what was best for me and my life and people around me. So I was asked to speak at a very prestigious real estate conference in front of about 5,000 people about a massive failure, about my team completely falling apart. It was another pivotal moment in my life, because I remember being backstage, you know, and you could see all the blinding lights, and I could see thousands of people out there, and they were just about to introduce me. And I thought, this is either career suicide or the best thing I've ever done. Mm. And it was the best thing I ever did. And I'll tell you why, because there are no skeletons, you know, in my closet. And it just freed me up to talk about it. And I didn't have to hide anything. And from that moment on, that was in 2017, I have been extremely vocal. I have been on many stages talking about it. I'm open. I've had people interview to work with me, and I'll say, watch this talk.
Yeah,
I want you to be clear about who I was and who I am now and how I've evolved.
What made a lot of people wouldn't share that. Right?
Most people wouldn't.
Most people wouldn't. Walk me through the decision that you made to share.
Yeah.
Like, what was in your mind? What was it that you wanted people to get from you sharing?
It was a purpose-driven decision,
okay.
And it was based on my mission, which is to motivate people to be the best person they could be. Mm. What's layered on top of that mission statement is that I have a high need to make that a big number. I have an insanely high need to impact and motivate hundreds of thousands of people, not just 10.
Yep.
And I think that there's no right or wrong. It's just the way I'm wired.
Yeah.
And to me, I felt convicted that no one was getting on stages, certainly national stages, talking about their failures.
Yeah,
I was getting,
so true.
You know, a little tired of going there and hearing all the rosy pictures all the time.
Yep.
And I'm like, and I would know what it looked like behind their curtain. A lot of them were my friends.
Yep.
And I would see them up there, and I knew they weren't profitable, and I knew that they were, you know, that it was kind of a craziness behind the scenes, and they would get up there and they would make themselves look good and be right.
Yeah.
And it was really important to me to share that. And I went on to share that. And I believe that started, you know, my next pivotal journey, which I never saw coming.
Yep.
I continued to meet and coach with Ben Kinney, who'd become a more major figure in my life now. He'd become a good friend at that point.
And at the same time, he was growing. His organization was growing exponentially too.
All of a sudden, you know, one day I look up and he's got 6 brokerages, one of the largest national teams in the nation.
Yep.
And a tech company. I remember going up to Bellingham, and there had been a little gap, because by now I hadn't been going up as often. And I remember the moment I went up there, and they had almost the whole floor, the whole second floor of the office building. And I was like, oh my, this is big. And I hadn't been there in a while, kind of like you were saying earlier, Seychelle, about when you're with things every day, you don't see the change. But if 3 or 6 months go by and you see something, and it blew me away.
Yeah,
I was like, he has built something really, really big. And I started looking around, and
I think you mentioned that on episode 2. Uh-huh. It's like you dove into that on episode 2,
right.
Of just sometimes you're not realizing the changes, you know, in things when you're right in it.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's what happened there.
And what was interesting, Sarah, is that, you know, I in one sense, I climbed a really big mountain summit.
Mm.
I reached my peak. I reached 1.7 million in revenue.
Amazing.
And I say it a lot, but only 2% of women-owned businesses reach 1 million in revenue.
Yep.
So it was a really big honor and blessing in my life to hit that point.
Yes.
And I was miserable.
Yep.
And you know, I've always been so summit focused. Let me just focus on that, the mountaintop. And that was really when I started to understand that really it's a fierce adherence to the process, not necessarily the summit. I also understood at that point, well, it takes a lot of life experience, I think, to get there,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
I also realized at that point that I wanted a bigger summit, and probably the best way to get to a bigger summit was to climb back down the mountain and walk over here and go up a new mountain. which is a really hard decision to make when you have three kids at home and you're in your 40s. And really have never worked or didn't have much experience in corporate America. I've been an entrepreneur for so long.
Via, I have to tell you, listening to this story, I mean, the crazy amount of bravery that took. For both, I mean, to walk out in that huge conference first and be open and vulnerable in front of 5,000 people is something, I mean, I would say I know maybe four people, maybe four people, that would do. And actually watching you do that was so inspiring to me because I feel it allowed me to own where I was, to not be afraid that somebody was going to hold against me. Mm-hmm. Not getting it all at the same time and getting to go on this journey with you, then to watch you take the bravery to say, I have literally hit this summit over here and I am achieving massive things and have a massive business and a massive life. And I am willing to evaluate where I want to go in the next 5 years. And that might mean I have to climb back down and climb back up. I mean, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
Well, and that's really what it came down to. It came down to, what do I want the next decade to look like? Because I by now had internalized that this was my wealth building decade. And not only that, you know, there's a lot of ways you can become a multimillionaire. Wanted to have a great journey in the process, right?
Well, and your drive for impact, right?
And I wanted to enjoy
your day to day.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember having conversations with you.
You had a lot with me.
And you just really, you were not happy. You were not happy with what you were doing. And it was kind of a facade, is really what it was.
It was.
And so I want to steal the show, but tell me your happiness level now. Like, what's your day-to-day?
Before we get into that, what does it look like now? Like, what is your role? Like, where have you taken your sort of role to now, right? Because now, I mean, out of all of us, and something that I study is like leading leaders, right? Mm-hmm. And growing an organization that has leaders. I mean, out of any of us here, you're doing that at such a high level. Yeah. So what is your day-to-day now? Not day-to-day, but what is your role now?
And that was a fundamental change, by the way. You know, I went from a real estate team of 7 people to 1,350 agents overnight. Yeah. And 6 team leaders at the time. And team leaders are branch managers that I was leading. And it was shocking. It was a shock to the system. You can't be ready for that. You know, I was reflecting, Sarah, on something you said about your mom hiring you. Ben Kinney, by the time he hired me, knew me so well that it was actually a concern. I was genuinely concerned that he knew me too well. And that, you know, there was no way I could pretend at that point, but I remember having a conversation with him and I remember it was freeing because I said, you know, at the end of the day, you know exactly how I'm going to show up. Mm-hmm. You know how I'm going to show up in the good, bad, and the ugly, and there will be no surprises. And so that was a huge, huge blessing. What I do is I run our brokerage division.
Okay.
And I'm also involved in the leadership of our mortgage, title, and escrow.
Yep.
And so you know, I help in other areas of the business, as we all do. It's just our executive leadership team are all pretty tight.
And you entered, similar to me in terms of team building, right? 2009, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're entering the brokerage business, brokerage world in the equivalent of what the real estate market was in 2009, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that has taken grit, that has taken a lot of problem solving. Yeah. And I mean, you've been a lot of guts.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for saying that, by the way, because when you are wired to win, it can be challenging at times, right?
Yeah.
But I think the biggest, to your point about leading leaders, I thought I knew. I led this team and I thought, you know, this is just going to be the same. There's just more zeros. Mm. There's just, you know, just more people, right? And this put me in a position for really the first time in my life, I now get it, where I lead the people that lead the agents. I'm the grandparent.
Yeah.
And
you're the grandparent.
I just can't go in and insert myself and sell more homes and impact the bottom line.
Yes. Anymore. You can't sell your way out of a problem.
It just is a leadership. Absolutely. It's a leadership role. And and it's made me a student of leadership. My leadership has has exponentially increased probably 10 times since I've started.
That's right when I entered into our tribe, right? Yeah. It was right when you... And so I've been able to see it. I mean, all of us have seen this remarkable growth you've had in leadership.
Thank you.
I mean, over the last, only a couple of years, right?
Yeah, it's a year and a half.
Yeah. I mean, truly amazing. And I know one of the, you know, we always want to focus on that big life and the life that we're really wanting. And a big reason that you made that decision to be the entrepreneur was because of your happiness level before, right? So tell us, what does that look like now? Are you happy?
I'm extremely happy. And, you know, ultimately, it's back to the ego again. Ultimately, I had to make a decision. I am better with Ben Kinney. I am better with the people around me. It was clear to me I was getting leadership lonely. It was clear to me that I was just not having fun anymore. And I have a Ben and the executive team really bring out the best in me. I get to stay in a lane that I'm really great at, and I don't have to deal with some of the other lanes. So it's really a big win-win. So I am the happiest I've ever been in my career.
That's
and
awesome.
I started measuring my net worth last year. I mean, this is my decade. I have really specific goals. I track them. I measure them. I mean, it's 180 degrees from where I was.
And I mean, when all of us, you know, agreed to do this podcast, right? The very first thing I think on our first call was that we all were very unified in was we want to be authentic.
Yeah.
We want to be vulnerable. We want to make sure that we are a podcast that's sharing the good, the bad. And you really led that in Keller Williams. You really led that in the industry in multiple ways. And it's such a blessing to not only see your leadership journey, see your growth, but also as a friend.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, with that, incredible interview. Yeah. Thanks, always for my three partners in crime here.
Y'all did great.
I personally learned a ton. Seychelle and I were both taking notes over here the whole time.
I have a page of notes. Thank you for that, ladies.
I want to thank all of our listeners out there again for tuning in to the latest episode of Empire Builders. And we hope that you'll stick around and join us again next time.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.